are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock back again on another Crossover Wednesday. My guest, Kevin Ostreicher. He's the host of Locked On Ravens Week 13. 49ers traveling to Baltimore, and another huge one. Such a big matchup in prime time for both these teams. Now a quick turnaround and an even bigger matchup. People talking Super Bowl preview here with the 49ers and Ravens, coming up with three combined losses between the two teams in Week 13, which is pretty amazing. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully the 49ers can get up for another big-time contest in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, and it's funny to think where these two teams were kind of ranked in the preseason. I remember seeing a picture that Adam Rank had rated the 49ers, you know, a bottom third NFL team, gave them a 3-13 record. But here we are, 10-1 for the 49ers, having the best defense in the league, giving up only 248 yards per game, 136.9 passing yards per game. I mean, this defense is on a historic pace, and I think it's all started with Nick Bosa, with Richard Sherman, and all these other role and key pieces that the 49ers have been able to bring in over the years. What has changed from last year to this year in terms of how dominant this defense has become?
Yeah, I think there's three major factors with the 49ers defense. And number one is the edge rush. Not only being able to draft Nick Bosa number two overall, but they realized that the defense was non-functional without that edge rush, even though they had Arik Armstead already in-house and they already had DeForest Buckner, and Buckner had 12 sacks last year. And he seems to be the second man home on every pass rush and kind of gets beat to the quarterback by Bosa and Dee Ford and all those guys. But the 49ers drafting, basically spending as much as they could football capital-wise on the edge pass rush, drafting Nick Bosa number two, and then trading a second rounder for the right to sign Dee Ford from the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think that's the key there. We'll see if Dee Ford's going to be ready to go in this game. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. He was out last week, but it didn't really matter. The 49ers front is so good and so deep, they were still able to get after Aaron Rodgers. So I think the pass rush is the number one thing, and that's really fixed a lot on the back end as well. Another thing that I think goes not really talked about, because Robert Saleh gets a lot of the credit, and he deserves credit for this, and maybe it came down from above him, from John Lynch and from Kyle Shanahan, but they changed the scheme up a little bit. The 49ers had been running a pretty vanilla cover three scheme that comes directly from Robert Saleh's Seattle days. And, you know, a lot of zone coverage, cover three looks, but they've changed it up this year. They brought in two new coaches, defensive backs coach from the Denver Broncos in Joe Woods, and then defensive line coach from the Detroit Lions in Chris Kocurek. And now they have a little bit more of a wide nine look on the defensive line, more stack linebackers instead of the hybrid look at linebacker that they had before, and a little bit more man cover. It's still a base cover three scheme, but a little bit more man coverage mixed in and a little bit more interchangeable safety and two high looks rather than single high all the time. So just a little bit of a tweak there, being able to show more looks defensively. And those things, I think, all combined have really paid off. And the 49ers have been sound in coverage, no big lapses. And, you know, the thing where guys have their palms up in the air looking at each other after a play, like, well, I thought you had him. None of that's been happening this year. And the pass rush has been dynamic, and it's why they've been the best passing defense in the league so far this year. So it's a combination of scheme and talent, and both of those things are at a high level right now for the 49ers defense.
And coupling that with the Ravens offense in general, they're currently the second ranked total offense in the league in terms of yards per game by 0.1, a tenth of a yard. The Cowboys are averaging 433.4 yards a game. The Ravens, a tenth of a yard behind at 433.3 yards per game. The Ravens do have the top rushing offense, followed by the 49ers, which we'll then get into in the second segment. But what I think about this Ravens team is the improvement you just mentioned with from last year to this year with the 49ers defense. The improvement with Lamar Jackson has been absolutely night and day. Ravens fans have been watching his maturity, his improvement in just the football aspect of his game. He's making better decisions. He's making better reads. He's able to go through two or three reads instead of just staring down a certain receiver. that's what's making Lamar Jackson such a threat, because last year, you could just stack the box. The Chargers did it in the playoffs. We saw the blueprint to beating Lamar Jackson last year was stacking the box with seven defensive backs, keeping him in the pocket and making him throw the football. That wasn't a strength for him last year. He worked tirelessly to improve on that. And what he's done now is he's the best quarterback in the league, the front runner for MVP. I mean, 2,427 yards, 24 passing touchdowns, just five interceptions. He leads the league in quarterback rating with an 81.9. He also has six touchdowns on the ground. His dual threat ability, the improved play from the offensive line, even though the Ravens did lose their starting center, Matt Skura, for the season with an injury against the Rams. Patrick McCurry, who was an undrafted free agent out of Cal, stepped in, hadn't played center in college. He stepped in and he put on a pretty dominant performance against Aaron Donald in that Rams defense. Aaron Donald's stats against the Ravens, one assisted tackle. The Ravens made sure to annihilate him from their game plan and to make sure that they that Rams defense had to beat them in other ways, and they just couldn't do it. The Rams had the fourth best rushing defense in the league coming into that game, and they dropped at least 10 spots after this Ravens game because the Ravens more than tripled the amount of yards they were giving up in the game. It was an unbelievable performance. And this week against another tough test in that 49ers defense, I expect it to be a pretty evenly keeled matchup because this could be a potential Super Bowl preview, a Super Bowl rematch. And I don't want to jinx anything here for both of us, Brian, but I think that if I'm looking down the road, I think the Ravens have the best shot of any team to beat the Patriots to come out of the AFC. Lamar Jackson has had some trouble at Arrowhead Stadium going 0-2 in his two games played there, but he might not have to worry about that because the Ravens might have a first round bye and the Chiefs might not get one. I think that the Ravens have a very solid shot to come out of the AFC. And on the other side of that, the Saints have looked vulnerable. The Rams might not even make the playoffs, and they were the team who went to the Super Bowl last year in the NFC. The Seahawks can have up and down games. They didn't really have their best game against the Eagles. The 49ers have looked consistent all season long, and that's why this game in particular is going to be such a good one, because these two teams have just been so consistent and something's going to have to give. And one of these teams is going to have to come out with a win, unless, of course, they tie. But I don't think that's going to be the likely outcome here. But what I want to talk to you about next is I've asked most of the hosts on Crossover Wednesday this. When you, from a 49ers fan perspective, look at Lamar Jackson, you haven't been watching him as much as us Ravens fans have. What do you see out of him, and what is your initial reaction when you hear the name Lamar Jackson?
Well, I think the first thing is, and he's somebody I liked a lot coming out of Louisville, and I think he was never given the credit for how good of a thrower he was. Just arm talent-wise, he could chuck the heck out of the football, which is the number one thing to me. When I saw him, I was like, oh, yeah, this is definitely someone you want to keep at quarterback, because there was talk about him playing wide receiver, and it's like, okay, it can be equally true that he can be a great quarterback and be athletic enough to play wide receiver. I get the athleticism part, but he could sling the heck out of the football, and he was obviously raw as a rookie, but this year, I think it's the development, and you watch him play against the Rams on Monday Night Football, and his demeanor, the way he goes about it, he's just a really cool character, and he doesn't care. He doesn't care what people say about him. He just goes about his business, which I love, and so things don't get to him, and on the field, that shows itself too. So he's just cool, and he's going to find his little gap and escape from the pass rush. And then, oh, wait a second. Now, since you have so many people stacked in the box looking after the run, now I've got Marquise Brown just running free down the field. So I'm going to sling this even at a weird arm angle and just go make a big play through the air. So just his ability to run creates so much through the pass. And now you have guys running free. And it's just such a handful for defenses. And you want to spy him with a linebacker. Well, he's going to be more athletic than your linebacker. So who do you even spy him with? You know, so it's just such a difficult player to put a game plan up against, because he's more athletic than your guys that are trying to chase him. And he can definitely sling the ball down the field. Like on Monday Night Football, he had five touchdown passes. He only completed 15 passes, right? So a third of his passes went for touchdowns. Those huge plays he can make because he extends it with his legs and he's got the arm to go wherever he needs to with the ball. So that's what I think is so maddening, trying to play against a player as athletic and gifted as Lamar Jackson. It's been awesome to see his growth in year two of his career. You mentioned some stats, and I want to kind of double down on some of the stats you mentioned too when it comes to that Ravens offense. And that's why this is such a great matchup, that 49ers D versus the Ravens offense, strength on strength. We'll get to those stats next. We've got to talk about the 49ers offense against the Ravens defense and make some predictions. All right, this is a good time to tell the fellas out there about Blue Chew. Guys, do you remember when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. For instance, most guys talk a good game, but if you're one and done, Blue Chew can even help you follow through for round two. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. And they're made right in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Blue Chew is the cheaper, better, faster choice. BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON. We thank them for sponsoring this podcast. That 49ers defense you mentioned, the pass yards per game, that's better than any team since 1980. That's from NFL Research. And then on the other side with the Ravens offense, I just saw this today. The Ravens have punted twice in their last three games. That's against the Bengals, the Texans, and Rams. RG3 was the guy playing quarterback on both of those drives when they punted twice, which is insane. And the 49ers, every single drive from the Packers against the 49ers last week ended in punt, fumble, or turnover on downs, except for the one scoring drive. So the strength on strength there is unbelievable, and that's what makes this matchup so great. And when it comes to Lamar Jackson, I think we've got to continue to talk about him, because my big question with Lamar Jackson for you is Baltimore faced another really good defense in the New England Patriots, and Baltimore came out on top in that game. The Patriots play a lot more man coverage than the 49ers. In fact, I think the Patriots play more man coverage than anybody in the league. And I don't think the Patriots showed everything that they could have to Baltimore. Maybe that's because they had one eye on the playoffs, knowing they might play him again and still continue to play a bunch of man. I think they might play more zone if they faced him again. But what was that Ravens offense like and Lamar Jackson playing against another very strong defense that they were able to beat?
Well, the thing with the game against the Patriots is that the Ravens exploited a weakness on that defense. We all know that the Patriots cornerbacks are absolutely, you know, dominant right now. Stephon Gilmore is one of the best in the league, J.C. Jackson, and even their secondary with Devin McCourty, Jason McCourty. That's a strength of that team. The Patriots' run defense, however, is a little worse than their pass defense. They currently rank 9th in the league in terms of rushing yards allowed per game, but they average 4.6 yards per carry that they give up. That's ranked 23rd in the league, tied with the Texans. What the Ravens did was they exploited Trace Winovich on the edge. Michael Bennett was gone at this point. So the defensive line for the Patriots was a little short-handed, and they just made sure that their run looks looked exactly the same. What makes this Ravens offense so special is the fact that when you have an RPO with Mark Ingram and Lamar Jackson, there are three different scenarios that can happen, but it looks the exact same. He can either hand it off to Mark Ingram and Mark Ingram will charge right up the middle. He can take it himself, Lamar Jackson can, and run around the edge. Or he can pull the ball in, Mark Ingram will block or run a short out route, and he'll throw the ball. And that look for a defense is so hard to contain and so hard to play against because it all looks the same. You don't know whether Lamar Jackson is going to take it around the edge. You have to play disciplined football, and the Patriots were not able to do that. Plus, the momentum was on the Ravens' side. The home crowd was great. Everything was going in the Ravens' favor. And yes, maybe Bill Belichick didn't show everything that Patriots defense had to offer for any saving it for the playoffs. That's a possibility. But I think that this Ravens team is just built to beat the Patriots. And we've seen their offense not be up to the standard that we've seen from the Patriots offense in recent years. They only scored 17 points against the Eagles, 13 against the Cowboys. If you score that low against the Ravens, it's going to be a blowout because the offense just has not stopped scoring points. It's been a factor ever since week 5. When that overtime went against the Steelers, something just clicked there. The defense started to improve. I mean, I didn't even see the defense on the field for most of the third quarter against the Rams. The Ravens pride themselves on holding the football to tire the defense out and to make sure that their defense is rested on the other side. The Ravens in that game against the Patriots held the ball in their final two drives for over 17 minutes. That's over a quarter of time. The Ravens will kill you with time of possession and not give you enough opportunities to score to keep yourself in the game. They'll just hold the ball, they'll run the clock out, and their high run percentage is due exactly to that fact, that the Ravens will just run the clock, bleed the clock, and you're not going to get a chance to score. If you hand the ball back to the Ravens on a 3-and-out, you might not see it again for 9 or 10 minutes, and that's a problem when your quarterback is rusty on the sideline, your defense is tired out and just breathing heavily. That's what the Ravens were able to do against the Patriots, and that's exactly why they won that football game.
That's why it's going to be such a fascinating matchup with the 49ers and Ravens this week, and I can't wait. And as great as that matchup is with the Ravens offense against the 49ers defense, the other side I think is going to be really fun too, and maybe that is where this thing gets decided.
You know, I think that's exactly right. And the Ravens defense, ever since acquiring Marcus Peters, has been one of the best in the NFL. I mean, you look at the game against the Rams, the Ravens only allowed them to have 221 total yards of offense. That included 199 passing yards and just 22 yards rushing. The Rams had to abandon the run, and that wasn't what they wanted to do. There was some talk early in the week about the Rams force-feeding Todd Gurley, which Todd Gurley's usage has been a bit of an issue for Sean McVay and the Rams. But against the Bears, he had 25 carries, and it looked like the Rams were going to kind of move back to feeding Gurley. The Ravens put up 14 points early. They just couldn't sustain the run. And that's where the Ravens have to be smart, is because this 49ers team, in terms of running the football, I mean, they're almost right up there with the Ravens, and they've been missing one of their star running backs in Matt Breida. The Ravens rank first in the league in rushing, 210.5 yards. The 49ers are second with 145.6. Now, that's a big discrepancy between the two, but that doesn't take away from the fact that the 49ers are very good running the football. You have Tevin Coleman and a few other pieces who are helping that team just pound the football just like the Ravens are. And so it's going to be strength on strength there. And so maybe this is a game where if the Ravens run defense can kind of buckle up a bit, Brandon Williams is in there. Michael Pierce might be returning from an ankle injury. He would be a big addition back to this Ravens defensive line. It might be forcing Jimmy Garoppolo to throw the football. And Jimmy Garoppolo has had some good weeks, and he's had some not so good weeks. This is a week where I can see the Ravens secondary stacked up with Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, Brandon Carr, Jimmy Smith. You have Earl Thomas in the back end. If Don Martindale, who's been an absolute all-star of a defensive coordinator this year, can dial up some blitzes, if Joe Staley doesn't return from an injury and the 49ers are forced to start their backup left tackle, I can see the Ravens defense potentially dominating this matchup. Now, there are a lot of other factors that go into that. Emmanuel Sanders, ever since coming over from the Broncos, has been a stud. Deebo Samuel has turned it up in recent weeks. And, I mean, you can't forget about George Kittle. He's one of the best tight ends, if not the best in the league. So there are a lot of weapons on this offense. And, Brian, I want to ask you, outside of George Kittle, because we know he's the X factor in this offense, or at least one of them, which weapon on that 49ers offense should Ravens fans be looking out for on Sunday?
To be honest with you, I think the number one thing is Kyle Shanahan, because he's such a wizard of a play caller, and he'll devise something to get somebody open in that game, as witnessed by that big George Kittle touchdown where he didn't have a guy within 20 yards in any direction of him on that long touchdown against the Packers. But that what you laid out there is, I think, pretty much what most teams have done against the 49ers, because they've been a really good run team and were dominating with the run game earlier in the year, and it got a little bit worse when George Kittle was out. And it's pretty obvious after that Packers game how much of a difference George Kittle makes being in there. But teams are stacking the box against the run, and they want to make Jimmy Garoppolo beat them. And I think that becomes a lot easier when you have a healthy Emmanuel Sanders, who's back now from his rib injury. He's still in pain, So I don't know if he's ever going to be 100% this year because it's just going to hurt probably for a while when he gets hit. But he's at least able to play. Deebo Samuel has definitely entrenched himself in there as the number two wide receiver after Emmanuel Sanders, and his development as a rookie has been awesome, and he's really good after the catch on those slant routes and taking short passes and making plays after the catch. And then, of course, George Kittle's so great. So Jimmy Garoppolo has shown that when teams did that, he was up to the challenge, and he's been able to make plays. And that's one thing that, and I'm sure you see this with all good teams, I'm sure it's been this way for the Ravens at certain points during the season. When you're a really good team and you win a lot of games, you have to be able to win in a lot of different ways. And the 49ers have proven that they've been able to dominate on the ground. They've been able to dominate on defense. When they had to throw for points, they've been able to do that. And so, but that's still the way that teams, I think, will go after him. And if I was the Ravens, that's the way I would go after the 49ers too, is try to stop that run first. Put Jimmy Garoppolo at bad down and distance situations. Play man coverage with those really good defensive backs and try to get after him and make the 49ers beat you through the air. And we'll see if the 49ers are able to do that, but that's definitely the way I envision this thing going down from a defensive scheme standpoint for Baltimore. Locked On 49ers, Locked On Ravens crossover here. Brian Peacock of Locked On 49ers with Kevin Ostreicher of Locked On Ravens. More to get into, the X factor in this game and predictions coming up. Away creates thoughtful products designed to change how you see the world. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/lockedon and use promo code LOCKEDON during checkout. That's awaytravel.com/lockedon. As a true football fan, you already know, just as sure as the seasons change, Tom Brady will keep the Patriots in the game. And so will Jimmy Garoppolo, I might add. Every weekend, our favorite gridiron warriors put their skills to the test, so why aren't you doing the same? We're almost halfway through the NFL season, so now is the time to get off the sidelines and get in the game with MyBookie. MyBookie is the premier place to bet on all your favorite pro and college football action every weekend. They always have the most up-to-date lines and the most prop bets of any sports book on the planet. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and bet with the best at MyBookie. If you like to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. Pick your locks for the week, put them together in one parlay bet, and when they all come out together on top, the rewards will be huge. The best part is, if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right. If you put in $1,000, they'll give you $1,000 to bet at MyBookie. That's double your initial deposit you can use on all your favorite picks. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON to double your first deposit. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Another question that I have for you, Brian, is the return of Matt Breida. If it happens, how much of a boost to the 49ers run game is that going to give them? I mean, Tevin Coleman's been okay this season, but I think Breida gives them another dynamic aspect to that running game that they don't have when he's not on the field. Is Breida a big X factor in this game?
I don't think so, because even without Matt Breida, I think whoever's playing running back for the 49er is for the 49ers is like the fourth most important aspect of the 49ers running game. I think scheme is more important. I think the offensive line is more important, and I've seen, whether it's Tevin Coleman, Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, I'm fine with any of those guys in there, and I do think Matt Breida is the 49ers' best running back, but I think those other guys are just fine. This isn't a team that's built around the talent of one running back, and even when one guy's going, they've still really all shared the load back there at running back and at different times shown that they can all gain, you know, 5+ yards per carry, and they've all had big games. So I'm not too worried about missing Matt Breida if he's not able to go because of his ankle injury. And we don't have official word on how that's going to look yet, if he's going to be in there. But Tevin Coleman's had games where he went crazy. Raheem Mostert's super explosive. I mean, these are all 4-3 guys. And Jeff Wilson's probably the most underrated player on the 49ers offense. And he doesn't get a lot of looks. But if you have to put Jeff Wilson in there to carry the load, I think the 49ers are okay, because it's all about scheme and it's all about the offensive line. It's not so much about who's in there playing running back for the 49ers. And so that's a great thing, but you don't have that traditional bell cow number one back that is like, okay, this guy's so good that when the hole's not there, or when, you know, when things are really dirty, this guy can get you a couple extra yards that maybe someone else can't. The 49ers don't really have that guy, and they don't try to rely on that guy. So it's good and bad to have a really strong committee. But as far as losing Matt Breida, I don't think it's a super big factor for the 49ers at all.
Yeah, no, I agree with you right there. And it's the same thing with the Ravens. I mean, Mark Ingram is the Ravens' best running back by far. But then you have Gus Edwards in there who can do a little bit of everything too and show that he could do the same thing that Ingram does, and they can rotate them in 1-2. So it's really been the offensive line for the Ravens that's been carrying this team. And let's stick there with the offensive line for a second. How has that 49ers group been doing this season? I know Joe Staley has been in and out a little bit, but how has the group as a whole done?
They've been pretty good. And coming into the season, they were awesome together. All five starters coming back. It's been a little bit touch and go, losing Joe Staley, obviously, because he's a really good left tackle. And in most offenses, when they lose their starting left tackle, it hurts a little bit. It's interesting last week that Justin Skoll, who's been the rookie sixth rounder out of Vanderbilt, who's been the guy that jumped in at left tackle, and Daniel Brunskill jumped in for Mike McGlinchey at right tackle when he was out. Well, McGlinchey's back now. And according to Pro Football Focus, Daniel Brunskill, who was in there playing right tackle most of the season in a reserve role, he replaced Justin Skoll against the Packers because Skoll got beat a couple times by Za'Darius Smith, and then Brunskill was great from there on out. And Daniel Brunskill, according to Pro Football Focus, is the number 11 overall tackle in the NFL grade-wise as a pass blocker, and he's the second highest graded player from Pro Football Focus on the 49ers offense. And so I think Daniel Brunskill is the guy we're going to see at left tackle from here on out. And at least in the small sample we've seen so far from him this season, he's been fine. And he might not be peak Joe Staley. You'd still want to have a healthy Joe Staley in there at left tackle. But Brunskill isn't such a drop-off where he's going to be a player that is going to get Jimmy Garoppolo killed. And basically the 49ers have, and at so many positions, cornerback with Emmanuel Mosley jumping in, offensive tackle. It's been unreal to see the 49ers' depth show up this season, and the next man up mentality has been so huge for the 49ers, and it seems like everybody they put in there has just played awesome when the starters have been out, and I think the offensive line has been no different. So it's as the offensive line goes, the 49ers' run game goes. And on that same subject, I just checked here before we went on the air. Maybe the X factor in this game when it comes to the running game is the weather. And maybe you have some insight to how Lamar Jackson in the past has been able to throw in the rain. But it looks like a 90% chance of rain in Baltimore. So I wonder how that might change the game plans on both sides.
Well, the thing with Lamar Jackson is with the weather, with the rain, with the slippery football, I'm not so concerned with his throwing in the rain because every quarterback has to adapt to those elements. And I think Lamar Jackson has done a pretty good job of adapting to the elements when they do present themselves. Where I'd be a little more concerned probably is with Lamar Jackson and Patrick McCurry, the new center who I mentioned, kind of with their snap exchanges. McCurry, as I mentioned, didn't play center in college for the Cal Golden Bears. He's new to the position, and when he came in against the Rams, he did a phenomenal job. He was able to hold his own against Aaron Donald, and he did great. But that was in about 60-degree weather in clear conditions. And now you mentioned the 90% chance of rain. Lamar Jackson had a fumbling issue last season. It has not shown up this season. He has improved tremendously within the grasp of the football, with gripping it better, holding it tight, just making sure that he protects it at all costs. But with the rain, anything is possible with those snap exchanges and with a new center who's most likely going to be starting his first career game. Lamar Jackson likes to run a lot of plays out of the pistol. That's where the Ravens offense really thrives. When you have Lamar Jackson in the pistol with Mark Ingram behind him, Patrick Ricard, the fullback, on the side, they use a lot of motion. So you could see people slipping, people falling down. That's just what the rain brings. So while I'm not as concerned with, you know, the Ravens kind of throwing the ball awry, I'd more so be concerned with if Patrick McCurry can provide good snaps to Lamar Jackson to help him do his thing, because the center connection between Matt Skura and Lamar Jackson this season was phenomenal. That's a big loss for the Ravens, but if McCurry can play the way that he played against the Rams, the transition should be pretty simple and pretty smooth, to be honest. But sticking on that same subject, the 49ers being in LA, usually being in San Francisco, don't usually have to deal with the rain and the weather. And it's kind of a rarity to see rain sometimes up down in that San Francisco area. How do you think the 49ers will adapt to that weather?
Yeah, and first of all, I got to say, see, this is what's great about a Locked On Podcast Network crossover episode. I didn't think we'd be talking about the X factor of a center quarterback exchange, but that's the knowledge we bring here, and I love that. And dude, one fumble, one turnover, that could be the difference in this game, right? Yep. Especially if it's a rainy game. So the turnover battle is definitely something to watch. When it comes to weather, yeah, I mean, the California weather, like you said, you know, 60 degrees. It was 60 degrees just before kickoff for that primetime game with the 49ers and Packers too. So, I mean, you don't get a ton of rain. You don't get those bad weather games. One thing the 49ers might have on their side is they just played in basically a monsoon a few weeks ago in Washington, and they were able to come out on top 9-0 in that game. And that was so wet and muddy that essentially you had to throw out your entire game plan because it was just a mess and it was just a completely different game. And I don't expect it to be that wet in Baltimore, but it could rain a lot and it could really affect things. So luckily the 49ers have some practice in that type of weather, probably worse weather than what they'll see in Baltimore Sunday. And they came out on top and they were able to win that turnover battle. And they were able to show again that they could win in another way that they haven't had to yet this season. So I don't think it'll be a huge problem. And actually for both teams, I don't think it'll be a huge problem because both teams are pretty good at running the football. And sometimes that's what you need to do in those really wet conditions. One thing that that I'm thinking about here with the 49ers being potentially helped by bad weather is that if you can make the Ravens offense a little bit more one-dimensional, and if the passing game's not really working, then you can stack the box a little bit more and not have to worry as much about that dual threat and those big plays in the passing game. I feel like that could potentially help the 49ers a little bit. Am I wrong about that?
No, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. Part of what makes this Ravens offense so dangerous is the fact that if you sell out for the run, they'll beat you with the pass. And if you decide to drop more guys into coverage, Lamar Jackson, if he's throwing the football, will just scramble for a first down. If the weather kind of eliminates some of that passing game, I think that the 49ers could just do a thing and stack the box, and that might present some problems for the Ravens up front, for the running game. I mean, Mark Ingram is a phenomenal running back, and Lamar Jackson is a threat with his legs as well as with his arm. But part of what makes the offense so successful is they can do multiple things very well in different facets of that offense. And so when you take into account the weather and what this Ravens offense does, the Ravens use play action a lot. They use their RPO play action. And if they kind of take that away, if the weather says, no, we're not going to allow you to throw the ball because the weather's going to be so bad, you know the Ravens are probably running on first and second down, hoping to get into a third and short situation so they can either run the ball again or rely on maybe a slant route, a quick out, whatever it may be. The Ravens like to rely on their deep shots sometimes in the game. They don't usually take those deep shots. They like to kind of have intermediate routes over the middle. Lamar Jackson's been throwing to the sideline a bit more. But when you have a guy like Hollywood Brown who can just burn you with speed, that kind of takes away that aspect of the game if the ball's slipping out of Lamar Jackson's hands. So I think you're exactly right. This weather, if it does decide to pour and affect the Ravens' passing game, it could present problems for the Ravens.
We've been going for a bit here, Kevin. We got to make some predictions here before we go. And the predictions has always been the toughest part. And this game is probably going to be, for me, the most difficult prediction because of how good both of these teams are playing right now. I've been picking a lot of 49ers victories, but I want to throw it to you first. Do you have any predictions about how this game is going to turn out?
You know, every time I predict, I always get it completely wrong because I picked the Ravens to win, and that's right. But I do. Last week, it was 34-24 Ravens over the Rams, and it was 45-6. I think I picked 33-27 Ravens over the Texans, and it was another 40-point blowout. I still can't bring myself to pick a blowout here, but I can. I think the Ravens will win this football game, but it's going to be a close one. And for all the reasons we mentioned, the 49ers defense stacking up with Lamar Jackson and that Ravens offense, the Ravens defense and its improvements going up against the weapons that the 49ers have, and you mentioned Kyle Shanahan, then Jimmy Garoppolo, George Kittle, Emmanuel Sanders. This is a very evenly matched game when you look at it. But I think that with the way the Ravens have been on a complete roll, with the 49ers traveling across the country, and with them having a 10 a.m. start time in West Coast time, I think that the Ravens will come out on top. And if I had to give a score prediction, I think it's going to be a decently high-scoring game, but I don't think the Ravens will score 40 points again. The Ravens have scored 40 points in three straight games and almost had it before when they scored 37 against the Patriots. I'm going to say the Ravens win this one 30-27, and I think Justin Tucker's going to win it for them on a late field goal. What about you, Brian?
Yeah, I've been a little bit conservative with the 49ers scores, even though I'm picking them to win most weeks, and they've been gone out there and dominated, and they're a team that, you know, you throw your money at the 49ers. And I looked at the line on this game, and I was surprised. I wasn't surprised that Baltimore was favored. I was surprised that they were favored by 6 points, though, because I would think that this would be a pretty even matchup in a neutral field. I think that you mentioned going East Coast time for the 49ers on their body clocks. It'll be a 10 a.m. start Pacific time going across the country. I think that definitely helps Baltimore. I think matchup-wise, it's not great for the 49ers. They can't really just pin their ears back with four pass rushers and go dominate the line of scrimmage and go cause all kinds of problems for a quarterback like they could a more pocket type passer, and they've given those guys all kinds of problems. They have had some practice at least chasing some pretty athletic quarterbacks in Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson lately, but neither one of them is Lamar Jackson as a runner. So I think matchup wise and the fact that it's on the East Coast, that is definitely in Baltimore's advantage. So I'm going to say the Ravens win this one by three. I think it might be a little bit more low scoring than these teams have had recently, because the teams are going to try to play a little bit more ball control. Could be a wet field. So if I'm betting, I'm taking the under on this game. I think it's at 46 and a half. So something like 24-21 Baltimore. But I think the line is a little bit too big, and it could easily be a blowout on either side because both these teams are really good and have blown people out. But I think the line's a little bit too big for Baltimore, and I think the 49ers can cover those 6 points. So I'm going to go Baltimore by 3, 24-21. I thought last week was game of the year for the 49ers after what we saw from both the Ravens and 49ers in week 12. I think this has surpassed it as game of the year. Super excited for this one. Thank you so much, Kevin. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back Friday with a weekly Wink episode. Enjoy the holiday. Talk to you then right here, Locked On 49ers.